in almost every institution, you hear of incidents where physicians or others erupt under pressure.
It's called disruptive behavior.
Physicians have spoken in raised voices, said demeaning or insulting things to other staff, sometimes, you know, raising to the level of cursing people, calling them names.
Some performance problems with some residents relating to the mutual respect situation, but more some of the patient interaction behavior relationships, so-called patient boundary issues.
Screaming, demeaning, insulting, or even engaging in improper physical contact, touching, shoves, pushes, or worse.
Hospitals are taking notice and taking action. Disruptive behavior by physicians and other providers is seen to undermine good patient care and create civil, sometimes criminal, liability. Also, hospitals finding it difficult to retain qualified clinicians are increasingly intolerant of behavior that hurts morale. Dr. Roger Nelson oversees the residency fellowship training program at Mayo Clinic and is dean of the Mayo School of Graduate Medical Education.
We wanted to identify the problem a little further, and so we actually had focus groups with our residents and focus groups with our program directors to try to identify examples of difficulties with mutual respect, difficulties with physician behavior that impacted on the patient. And so we visited with a number of our residents, our senior residents who'd been through the system.
Dr. Nelson and his colleagues developed a two-session program that is a requirement for all incoming residents. The Mayo program also involves attending or faculty physicians. The program features a significant amount of role-playing and responding to case scenarios with decision points. To pull off this kind of effort, Mayo used an outside medical training firm, Employment Learning Innovations, founded by attorney Stephen Paskoff.
I think you are seeing conduct that used to be taken as normal or acceptable being challenged by people who have grown up under different standards and norms. I think that some of the pressures of being a physician in a modern healthcare environment sometimes cause people to act out in inappropriate ways. And I think that the realities of today's litigation climate cause many of these situations to percolate up through the claims and litigation system. The first place to look for unacceptable risk is with respect to patient care. When we speak to people who have been subjected to that type of conduct, what they say is it makes them uncomfortable and feel not part of a team when they are part of an organization or group where that type of behavior is allowed or tolerated. So if you have a situation where healthcare providers are themselves distracted, alienated, losing focus, concentration, or willing to work with others, that is a serious risk in terms of the way healthcare services are delivered.
According to Paskoff and others, the necessary change in behavior won't come about by simply stating expectations.
You could write on a one-page sheet to physicians and other comparable professionals the standards of behavior, and they could be readily explained and identified. You could say, we will not accept screaming and yelling. We will not accept sexual, racial, religious, ethnic, age-based, and like outbursts, that is, sexual orientation, disability. We expect you to render criticism in a professional way without negative names and labels attached. When possible, we expect pointed criticism to be delivered in private. And we certainly do not expect, or nor will we accept, inappropriate sexual or other forms of physical touching. Now, there's nothing about that that's complex to explain. Anyone who's a physician can read that and understand what the standard is. The problem is convincing them why they should follow that standard and why it's expected of them as professionals.
To do that, Paskoff's team will often train physician leaders first as facilitators. Behavior change is far more likely if the definition of professional standards is being articulated and modeled by the clinical leadership. That learning dynamic is already in place for other standards of training and education in the healthcare environment. Paskoff says that a systematic approach starts with a highly visible commitment by senior institutional leadership. The method then uses clinical leaders to define professionalism and includes a training requirement for everyone as a universal precaution rather than a reaction to a specific behavior problem. The training session itself is structured to include senior clinical leaders to reinforce the standards of professionalism. Objections and pushback issues are anticipated, and attendees work in highly interactive groups where they are often asked to respond to video dramatizations.
What you're doing is placing them in situations that they can relate to and asking them to respond. The reason is they will, A, articulate their specific objections, or they will explain, in essence, to their colleagues why this all makes sense. When they raise their objections and you ask them questions about their objections, then at least it forces them to address the issue. When it's presented in such a way that colleagues provide the answers or explanation, then you hear physicians, in essence, learning from colleagues, not just from an outside instructor, lawyer, whatever, and that adds to the credibility of the message as well.
That's a point that Dr. Nelson could understand better after the Mayo Clinic put together its training program for all incoming residents and a separate ongoing training for faculty and attendings. Dr. Nelson believes the effectiveness of their program is enhanced because they tailored it to the specific institution and sought input from key groups to help design the sessions.
We developed these little videos that were the kickoff for the discussion, probably about four or five of these per one-hour session. So it was kind of the standards of the institution, how do you access these, and then using real-life examples, okay, what would you do in this case? What's appropriate here? What's inappropriate? And so on. But I think getting that input from the users initially was very helpful.
At Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, Vice President for Human Resources Meg Jones has considerable experience training leaders and running educational sessions on inappropriate behavior. Jones sometimes sees a hesitation on the part of more senior physicians to act on complaints of physician behavior problems because past medical cultures stressed a standard of go along to get along. Jones points out that employment practice infractions that get the whole hospital into trouble can often be traced to a physician's lack of training as a manager.
I think physicians who are in managerial positions and in positions where their behavior can influence the work environment really haven't gotten the same kind of training that other managers have. They don't read the same kinds of managerial texts that managers read in the magazines and the literature that's out there. So I do think that physicians in positions where they're influencing staff ought to be given the same kind of managerial training, not just in terms of how to interview and how to do performance management activities, but what are the policies and what are the laws around behavior and discrimination and sexual harassment and so forth. I think to assume that physicians know that is really a problematic approach for hospital management.
Jones says medical staff have to be considered for these types of management training sessions just like other employees. She says the biggest benefit for many hospitals is better employee retention, since health workers are in enough demand to base employment decisions on the work environment. Dr. Nelson sees many benefits from the ongoing Mayo program.
It's a win-win for everyone involved. Definitely it's a win for the health staff, because the proper training early on in their careers can really save them a lot of trouble down the line, you know, medical legal issues, just a number of things. So no question, at this early stage, it's a plus for the health staff. It's certainly, we think, a plus for the patients because they're dealing with a more understanding physician, and so I think the patients certainly are going to benefit here. And one reason we did this, and I think all institutions would do this, would be the risk management institutional view and what could happen there and the publicity and so on associated with this. So all of these, I think, are big factors in why you'd want to do this institutionally.
Dr. Nelson says that Mayo surveys participants after the training sessions, and most respondents say they learned something helpful and will change their behavior.